Well, good morning. If you would take your Bibles, open the book of Exodus this morning. How many of you are tired this morning? Yeah, I don't think this was quite fair. Here I am, first time, and they had finals this morning. They're up till 11 o'clock at a concert last night. Anyway, we'll do our best to keep you awake this morning. Pastor told me if you fall asleep, it's not my preaching, so we'll just go from there. I won't be offended. It's good to be back here. I was just telling Pastor, it's hard to believe I came onto campus 10 years ago this fall. So I'm officially getting old. That's a whole decade. You will get there one day too. But I have to say, since I started as a freshman 10 years ago, I've always wanted to be up here. I love preaching. I've always wanted to be preaching at BCM Chapel. So this is a dream come true for me, and I'm thankful to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to preach to you all this morning. I do believe that you all are choice servants of the Lord. I really do. I believe that there are many of you that are going to change the world for the cause of Christ. And I am preaching at you this morning, not out of a position of piety or pompousness or anything like that. I'm preaching to you as fellow laborers in the ministry that God's called you to. I expect to see you all in the ministry in the future. We are co-laborers together in the cause of Christ, and I do count it a privilege to be here. I know some of you personally, some of you not so much. I did have the privilege of traveling with Mateo several years ago, and that was pre-BCM Mateo. So if you want dirt on Mateo, you come see me afterwards. I have plenty of it. All right, Pastor, I'm going to do something risky this morning. I'm going to preach a message that took me five messages to preach in my home church in one sitting here this morning. So as I tell people, I'm a fast talker. You listen fast, I will talk fast, and we will be done faster, all right? If you don't listen fast, then I have to talk longer as I talk slower. So you listen fast, and we'll be done faster. All right, Exodus chapter 10. Why don't you stand just because you're all sleepy? Exodus chapter 10, verse number 21. We will start there. It says this, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come hither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray you take the next few minutes. Would you bless them? Would you help the speaker? Would you help the hearer? Give alertness. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you'd apply it to each heart. And we pray this in your name. Amen. All right. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I was reading this passage several months ago, and this stuck out to me as I was reading this passage, that Pharaoh, as you see reading through the plagues, Pharaoh seems to have a change of heart over and over and over. And you see that he lets the children of Israel go, and the next day changes his mind, or he's deciding, okay, you can go, but don't take these people, or you don't take the children, or leave the cattle, or whatever. And he's trying to, over and over and over, make a deal with Moses. See, he comes to Moses and says, now Moses, I will let the people go, but Moses, you leave such and such, or you leave the cattle, as the passage we just read, leave the cattle for me, and I'll let you go. Now I was reading this, and I thought to myself, if I were Moses, that would probably be an enticing deal. Think about it. Here I am. I don't have an army. Pharaoh has an army. But here I am. I'm stuck in Egypt. My people are enslaved by this king, who's the most powerful king in the world at this time. And we're enslaved, and he's offering me a chance to go as long as I meet a few conditions. And I thought to myself, you know, I'd probably be willing to meet some of those conditions. But I love the resolve of Moses, and this is what we're going to talk about this morning. As he says to Pharaoh, Pharaoh, we're taking everything. We're taking the cows. We're taking the children. We're not staying close in the land. We don't care if you go back on your word. Our God is able to give us a complete and total victory, and we're taking everything and we're leaving. And that's the attitude that Moses had. Can I say this today? That I believe Satan is having a heyday making deals with Christians. He's having a heyday making deals with Christians. Because we so often want to compromise instead of going all the way. And can I tell you the premise here this morning is that Satan does not mind your surrender or your service, so long as you do not wholly consecrate yourself to the Lord. See, partial surrender is not surrender. Partial commitment is not actual commitment. Partial consecration is not actual consecration. And unfortunately, we live in a day and age in Christianity in which we prioritize our comfortability. We prioritize getting as close to the world but not entering the world. We prioritize mixing in and not being completely separate from the world. And unfortunately, in our day and age of Christianity, few know what it is to wholly consecrate to the Lord. Can I tell you this morning that what we need in our day and age is a generation of young people who are all in for Christ? And I know these are terms you hear all the time around here. I've sat where you sat. I know how it is. But it's very easy to sit there and let it wash over you and not let it actually sink into your soul and ask yourself, am I fully committed to the Lord? Or am I making deals? Am I fully consecrated to the Lord? God is looking for a fierce, radical loyalty to Him. A Christianity that puts all its chips to the center of the table. And you might look around and say, I don't know what that looks like. Because we don't have too much of it in Christianity today. I'll be honest with you, we don't. D.L. Moody said, the world has yet to see what God will do with a man fully consecrated to Him. By God's help, I aim to be that man. And by God's grace, I hope that there are young men and young women in this room today who would join D.L. Moody and say, I want to be fully consecrated to Christ. So we're going to take the next few minutes and I want to look at three. There are more, but we'll just look at three for time's sake of the deals that Pharaoh offers to Moses. And I want us to apply those in our lives in different ways. So if you would flip over to chapter 8, if you would. Chapter 8, deal number 1. Chapter 8, verse number 25. Deal number 1 that Pharaoh offers here. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God? Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as He shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. Deal number 1 that Pharaoh wants to make is stay in the land. Stay in Egypt. Don't go too far. And can I say this is the deal that is offered to Christians today? Serve your God, but don't go too far. Keep your options open and keep sin close. Don't be a radical. Just serve God. If you want to be a Christian, go ahead, be a Christian. But that doesn't mean that you have to be one of those Christians who's constantly confronting people about Christ. That doesn't mean you have to be one of those Christians who's totally separated. That doesn't mean that you have to be a nutcase about all these things that the world looks around and says, why in the world would you do that? See, the world is no problem, and may I say, Satan has very little issue with you being a Christian so long as it does not mean that you're fully separated unto the Lord. Satan doesn't mind if you're a Christian and you stay in the land of Egypt. But this is the ultimate slap in the face. To come ye out from among them and be ye separate. To put a difference between light and darkness. And may I say, our culture is more and more confused with what is right and wrong, because so often Christians are more and more confused about what is right and wrong. Please do not misunderstand me. I believe that there are certain things that are difficult to understand. I don't believe everything in Scripture is completely black and white. And you may disagree with me, and that's okay. But what I'm saying here is that we have fallen in love with being close to the world. We have not asked, how close can I get to God? We have asked, how close can I get to the world and still be okay with God? And I'm telling you, you cannot be very close to the world and very close to God at the same time. He that will love the world, he is the enemy of God. What know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? How can two walk together except they be agreed? If you are not agreed with God, you are not close to God, and you may try to hold on to the world. You may try to love the things of the world and love God at the same time, but I'm telling you, it does not work. For what fellowship hath light with darkness? And by the way, let me say this because I'm here. You are in a very strict college. You probably know that. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. Listen, you might walk out of these doors in a few years and not do absolutely everything by the handbook, and that's okay. But can I ask you, here's how I've started to think about it in my life. Because I'm going to go be a pastor. I have to know how to even present all these things to my people. It's not even enough to say, well, this is what I believe and this is what we do in my household. That's easy to say that. But it's harder to say, this is what I think you should do. So here's where I'm at. Anything, Charles Wesley said, that dims my love for the Lord is the world. So number one, I don't want my hands on anything that dims my love for the Lord. And number two, I would be very careful of getting rid of anything that clearly associates me with Christ. I'd be careful of getting rid of anything that clearly associates me with Christ. Do you understand the way you comb your hair and the clothes you wear and the music you listen to and the places you go and the friends you have and all that kind of stuff that associates you with someone? And I'd be careful of tearing down fences. I would. I'd be careful. I work in a restaurant on Friday night. Since we have a ton of Catholics and Lutherans, we have people that come in and they just buy fish. It's a thing. It's a thing around here. That's not a thing in a lot of other places in the country, I've come to find out. But around here, it's a thing. So everyone comes in and buys fish. And I remember one of the first Friday nights I was working after I got married. I got home from work. And my wife, I walked in the door. She was making dinner. And she looked at me and she said, "You smell like fish." And I did. On my clothes after Friday night, they just smell like fish. They make the whole apartment smell like fish. Can I say this carefully? You ought to have the smell of Christ on your life. People ought to get around you and say, that person smells like Jesus. Now listen, you can have all kinds of standards and all kind of other stuff and not have a heart for the Lord, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just because some people have all kinds of legalistic standards and aren't walking with God doesn't mean that you can't walk with God and have standards that please the Lord. You can have both. So don't look at other people and start saying, well, so-and-so, whatever. Listen, all I'm trying to say is our lives ought to be separated unto the Lord. We ought to be people that look at the world and say, I don't want any part of that. I don't want their culture. I don't want their influence. I don't want their lifestyle. And if that makes me look like a radical, which, by the way, it will in this world, then I'm okay with that. See, we're not going to stay in Egypt. We're not going to be close to the things of this world. I want to be close and near unto my God. By the way, how would it have worked out if they had stayed close to Pharaoh? See, he changed his mind pretty quick, didn't he? And after he let them go, he took his army and he decided we're going to chase them down and we're going to get them. It's a good thing they started getting out of there. And God delivered them through the Red Sea. Can I ask you, how close are you to the world? Have you made a compromise with the devil and said, I will serve God, I will call myself a Christian, I just want to stay in the land? Can I say carefully that this is the Christianity of our day and it has not worked? Now, I'm not a pragmatist. I don't believe you should do things just because they work or don't work. But it isn't working. And wisdom, Jesus said, is justified of our children. And we are seeing the complete failure of the modern church because we are far more concerned with blending in and not standing out. We're more concerned with blurring the line and not holding the line. More concerned with bridging the gap to become one with the world rather than standing in the gap on the behalf of a lost and dying world. And it's got to stop, and it's got to stop with us. We've got to be people who are so loyal to the Lord, who love the culture of the Lord. Do you love the culture of God? See, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, and it cost him everything. I was reading through the book of Leviticus, and I have to be honest with you, it's not my favorite book in the Bible, the book of Leviticus, and if you're honest, it's probably not yours either. But you know, I was reading through Leviticus, and I got to the end of it, and I realized this, and it hit me like it had never hit me before. The book of Leviticus is written so that God's people would look way different than the people of the world. And you know what God says? I will dwell with the righteous people. That's what Leviticus is about. It's about God separating a people unto himself and saying, because they're separated, I will be with them. And listen, I'm not trying to be unkind, but if you want to run to the things of the world, you might be able to hold on with one hand, but I am promising you, you will never be close to God. We got a lot of people in ministry today who want the world's methods. They want the world's ways. There are a lot of people in ministry who are trying it out, and it isn't going to work. Know the ways of God. That doesn't work. So we've got to be close to God. Get out of the land. What ways have you allowed the world to influence you? Are you content to be in Egypt? Deal number two. We're going to skip one of the deals in here. I have, I'll just throw it out here. One of the deals that Pharaoh gives is that there's a deal of convenience. There's a deal of convenience. We don't have time to develop this. I just want to say two things. Number one, Satan doesn't mind your commitment so long as it's tomorrow. Satan doesn't mind your commitment so long as it's tomorrow. And Satan doesn't mind your decisions made under duress. See, if you're not walking with God and you let all these other things influence you, you might be forced into a decision. But anything that's not substantiated with time in the Word of God and prayer, that is seed that's just going to get choked and taken away. We'll move on. Number three, if you look at chapter number 10, chapter 10, verse number 8. Chapter 10, verse number 8, and I've already alluded to this, but verse number 8 says, "And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, Go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go? And Moses said, We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord." So again, Moses is like, well, everybody's coming with us. Verse number 10, Pharaoh says unto them, "Let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go. And your little ones, look to it, for evil is before me. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire." And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So deal here, number three, we'll just call it number three because that's where we are. Number three, leave the family behind, especially the children. Deal number three is leave the family behind, especially the children. Let me say, Satan does not mind your worship so long as you neglect your responsibilities. Satan does not mind your worship so long as you neglect your responsibilities. See, these were the men. And Pharaoh says, listen, you take the men. This is what you wanted all along. Moses, you take them. You get out of here. You go serve God. But the men couldn't really leave their families in slavery, could they? They couldn't leave their wives and their children behind, but this is what Pharaoh offered them, and sometimes this is what the devil offers us, and unfortunately, we too often take it. We neglect the responsibilities that we have. This is our age of Christianity, the nominal Christian who does enough to get by, but not to fulfill his responsibilities to the Lord or towards others. See, I've got a responsibility of prayer. See, you can show up to church and you can have a nominal Christian attitude but not walk with God in prayer. And I'm telling you, Satan doesn't mind if you sit in a pew if you don't spend time in prayer. Now, you know that. You come to BCM, okay? You know that. But has it changed your life? Satan doesn't mind your nominal Christianity if you don't tell anybody about Jesus. He doesn't mind if you don't lead your family. He doesn't mind if you don't stand in the gap for a dark world. See, true worship, in fact, if we're being honest, true worship requires obedience. If ye love me, keep my commandments. So Satan doesn't mind, can I say, our fake worship. He doesn't mind when we sit and warm a pew, so long as we're not willing to fulfill our responsibilities towards the Lord. Now, I've got to be honest with you. This is one of the things that I'm concerned about as becoming a pastor. I think sometimes one of the things that we do as pastors is we want, rather than a church, we want a country club. And here's what I mean. I know we're all poor, okay? We don't know what country clubs are, okay? I get that. Listen, but here's what you do at a country club. At least is what I'm told. I've never been. But just show up. There's a bunch of old white people, okay? There's a bunch of old people who got a lot of money and spend their days golfing. That's what you do at a country club. And you show up, and if the new guy walks in, he's got to have enough money. He's got to be driving probably a Corvette, probably a convertible. You know what I'm saying? He's got to fit into the group. He's got to be one who meshes perfectly. And if he doesn't, then you kind of look at him a little funny, like, ooh, I don't know about this guy. This guy probably doesn't belong at our country club. Can I say we do this with church? Now, I'm thankful for my experience here at Falls Baptist Church. This isn't done at Falls Baptist Church as much as in a lot of places, but we do this, and we're all in danger of doing this. We want people to fit immediately into our mold. We want people to walk in the door and be instantly completely spiritual. Well, I'm here to tell you, that wasn't me, and it wasn't you either. It took time. It took time for God to work on us. And unfortunately, sometimes we have this country club mentality where we want to show up and hear a good sermon and have the keynote speaker really tickle our ears, but we go out unchanged, unaffected, and unwilling to help anybody else in the church. That's what happens frequently. And can I say, Satan doesn't mind if you sit in the pew if you're neglecting the responsibilities of provoking one another unto good works and to love. He doesn't mind. But let me also say that Satan doesn't mind that if you are warming the pews, or he doesn't mind your worship if you give up your future for it. And this is the deal that he offered. Pharaoh offers, he says, listen, you can go, but just leave the women and leave the children. Men, you go out, you conquer, you have your conquest. You could come back and say, we did it. We got out of Egypt. We served God. We worshiped God, but there was no future in it. And I fear that this is too often the Christianity of our day. We want to build the biggest buildings. We want to have the highest attendance totals. We want to have, and listen, I'm an ambitious person. I don't think there's anything wrong with building things. I think you should build things. But let me just say this. When you try to build something, and when you want God to bless your ministry, don't be so nearsighted that all I care about is today and I forget about tomorrow. See, they left their children. That's what Pharaoh offered them. You leave your wives, there's no way to have more children then. So you can go out and you can celebrate your victory, but the future is in trouble, is in peril, because you neglected your responsibility there. Satan doesn't mind your worship so long as it dies with you. Can I ask you, who are you reproducing? Because you might have all the right theology. You might have all the right practices. You might have all of your T's crossed and your I's dotted. You might have all that stuff. But if you're not reproducing yourself, then you're not any problem to the gates of hell. This is a question I've had to ask myself. See, I'm leaving a church. I'm leaving my home church where I grew up. I've spent my entire life. And I have to ask myself, do I have someone to teach my Sunday school class when I'm gone? Do I have someone to fill in the things that I've doing, running the VBS or helping with our Christmas play or different things that I've been doing? Do I have someone to kind of replace me? So you have to ask yourself that. Can I ask you, are you reproducing your life? Because if you're not, I'm telling you, Satan doesn't mind your worship at all. A Christianity that is not reproducing is not bothering the devil. And we see this so often. By the way, your theology will help with this. By the way, men, go to seminary, all right? It'll help you. And let me just say this. I actually almost have this in my notes because, anyway, listen, I'm just going to challenge you. I know God's path is different for every single one of you. Men especially, I know a lot of women go to seminary now too, so if you want to go too, great, it's great. Seminary is awesome. Way more fun than undergrad. It really is. It's way more fun. But listen, at least do what I did. Say, God, if you don't direct me somewhere else, then I'll come. Throwing that out there. But listen, your theology matters. It matters. And your theology is going to help you impact the next generation rather than just being focused on what is pragmatic in the present. We have a lot of big ministries these days that die in one generation. And a lot of that is theological. Their theology is wrong. So I challenge you, be careful about what you believe. It impacts the next generation. And Satan does not mind your service to the Lord if you're not reproducing yourself. By the way, reproducing yourself takes spirit-filled living. That's why we don't like it. Because it takes dying to the flesh, and it takes more than just my human effort. I can grit my teeth through anything, but it takes more than that to reproduce myself. So are you filled with the Spirit? Because if you're not, I'm telling you, the gates of hell don't mind you at all. Lastly, if you look at verse number 24, chapter 10, you're already there. This is where we began. Verse number 24. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, "Go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you." And Moses said, "Thou must also give us sacrifice and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. For thereof must we make sacrifice to the Lord our God." So we saw a first deal: stay in the land. You can serve the Lord, but stay close. Keep sin close to you. Number two, we saw leave the family behind. Don't reproduce. Neglect your responsibilities. And number three, we see the deal that he offers is a deal to leave the cattle. Leave the cattle. Satan does not mind your worship so long as it does not come paired with sacrifice. Satan doesn't mind your worship so long as it does not come paired with sacrifice. Every Christian will face a point in which he cannot move forward without great sacrifice. Now, I'll be honest with you. I tell people this. I already told my new church this. I don't believe that I'm going to die in a free country. I hope I'm wrong. But I don't believe I'm going to die in a free country. I believe that the things that are mentioned and preached and taught in this book may claim my life. And you're all younger than me. So I think it might claim yours too. Now, listen, I hope I'm wrong. But can I say it's easy sometimes to sit here and say, well, of course I'd give my life for the Lord. Of course I'd be willing to give my life. And not be willing to sacrifice some of the mundane, everyday things that we ought to sacrifice for the Lord. Like my time. Like my money. See, those things, it's easy to look down the road and say something might happen in 50 years and I'd be willing to stand, brother. It's easy to say that. But are you willing to sacrifice your time? Are you willing to sacrifice your friends? This is a hard reality of life, but it is a reality of life. That for most of you, you will find yourselves at some point or another in your life with people that you once loved, respected, or fellowshipped with. You will find that they chose a path that you cannot condone and frankly is far away from the Lord. I wish it weren't true, but it is true. And you are going to have to decide, do I want to follow the Lord? And that might rub my friend wrong. You might have to sacrifice some friends. I'm not saying be a jerk about it. I'm just saying you might have to decide, am I loyal to the Lord above my friendships? Am I willing to sacrifice for the Lord? See, every great man of God, if you read their stories or find an autobiography, if you find a great man of God, you will find a trail of sacrifices in his wake. Of times where God said, what about this? Or what about this? Whether it's a loved one or a pursuing of a spouse for some people. Or for some people it's a career. It's money. It's fame. It's status. All those types of things. Your reputation. You may have to take a stand that even amongst the saved, you might lose your reputation over. That happens. So are you willing to say, God, I'm not going without the cattle. We're not leaving Egypt without something to sacrifice with. We're going to sacrifice to our God. I remember when I think I was a sophomore. I think. We had student body chapel. You guys still do those? Those are great. I know if you're the fellowship doing it, it's like the week before, it's not so great. But once you do it, man, those things are great. I remember my freshman year, we built a coal mine in the basement downstairs. It was really cool. Anyway, this was a Go Forth chapel, by the way. I was Judson. We got Judson people out there? All right. Anyway, I hope there's way more Judson Fellowships of the Year plaques out there. Because when I was here, we won 3 out of 4. So I felt good about that. Anyway, listen, when I was here, we were in a Go For Chapel, and this really impacted me. You know what they brought to the front here? They had a coffin. And I remember, I can't remember who was even preaching. I don't remember who was president then. It might have been Stephen Williams. I'm not even sure. But I just remember they said, before you leave, there's something you need to come see in the coffin. And we all lined up and we walked out. You know what they had in the coffin? A mirror. And you looked in and you said, yep, that's what I need to see in the coffin. I need to die to my wants, my desires, my plans, my goals, my dreams. I want to do what God wants me to do. And I know that's going to come paired with sacrifice. I don't know what the sacrifices that I'll have to make are. And you don't know what the ones that you're going to have to make are. But are you willing to sacrifice? Because Christianity comes at a cost. It always comes at a cost. Let me say this. I think you should dream. I think you should dream big. I don't understand people who don't, to be honest with you. We got a big God who wants to do big things, and we used to say things in our ministries like, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. I think we need that spirit a lot more in our ministries today. But let me say this, all the dreams that I have, and I got a lot of them, I got an asterisk next to every single one and saying, not my will, but thine be done. I'd love to start a Christian camp. I'd love to start a Bible college. I've wanted those things since I was 4 years old. True story. That's all I've ever wanted to do is be a preacher. But you know what I have to say, God? That might not be in the cards. And God, if you take me to Godfrey, Illinois, by the way, a state I never wanted to live in, amen? You Wisconsin people, you don't want to live in Illinois, okay? No offense, Pastor. And it's bad down there. I got to be honest with you. I'm like 10 miles from St. Louis, okay? So that's even worse. So there's a bunch of Cardinals fans down there. And I don't like Cubs fans, but I really don't like Cardinals fans, okay? So it's going to be tough. And we've already talked about that in the church. We had our first meeting, and I told them, listen, this is going to be a tough time here. All right. But listen, I don't want to live in Illinois. But can I tell you that if God takes me to Godfrey, Illinois, now, I want to be honest with you because I think this is a knife-edge issue. I think you ought to expect God to do things. I think we have way too much fatalism in Christianity today. I think you ought to expect God to work. But I'm telling you, if God takes me to Godfrey, Illinois, and we never see God move in the ways that I'm hoping, and we never see massive buildings built, and we never see a huge church, and we never see a college, and we never see a camp, and we get to the end of my life, I just want to be able to say, God, I did everything you wanted me to do, and I'm leaving the rest to you. I'm doing everything you wanted me to do. And if my life and my legacy doesn't turn out how 4-year-old John Tyler hoped it would, that's okay. Because this life isn't about me. It's not about my dreams. I think you ought to dream. But I think you ought to be willing to say, God, whatever you want from my life, I just want to bring glory to the Lamb. That's what I want out of my life. I hope that's what you want out of your life. But that does not happen without sacrifice. And I don't know what the sacrifice is for you. I don't know. I don't know you. But I'm promising you there are going to be sacrifices along the way. Are you willing to sacrifice? Because Satan does not mind your commitment to the Lord if it does not come paired with sacrifice. So listen, there are some of you here this morning. You need to get out of the land. You have been flirting with sin. You've been flirting with the ways of the world, their methodology, their ideas, their entertainment, and you need to get out of the land. You need to get away from Egypt and say, no, we're not going one day's journey. Are we going to commit? And I love that. Moses even says, what are we going to commit? We're going to do these sacrifices. We're going to commit abomination in the sight of the Egyptians. They're going to kill us if we do that. No, we're getting way out of here where sin's not close to us anymore. Some of you, you need to get close to God and away from the world and get out of the land. There are some of you, you need to start fulfilling the responsibilities that God's given you. You need to ask yourself, am I reproducing my life? Because if you're not, you're not any threat to the devil. And there are some of you, you need to say, God, whatever that sacrifice is that you want me to make, I don't know exactly what it is, but whatever that sacrifice is that you want me to make, I'm willing to do it. If it means getting right with someone, if it means sacrificing maybe a bazillion demerits, because I got to get right with God. I don't know where you are in your life, but I just want to say that if you surrender fully to God, it's the best place to be, and you don't need me to tell you that. You know that. So what's holding you back? Get out of the land. Get close to God. Fulfill the responsibilities that God has given you. And come prepared to sacrifice to the Lord. Don't leave without the cattle. Moses said, we're not leaving a hoof behind. We're taking everything with us. I hope that out of this room, there's a generation of young people that rise up and that say, we are fully, wholly, totally committed to Christ. He's worthy of it. No hoof left behind.